Those old preachers used to always preach out of the Scofield Reference Bible, and they would always tell you the page number. My Bible is not like that, amen. I have a page 337, but that's a New Testament page. It's Revelation, amen. Revelation chapter 20 this morning, please. If you don't have a Bible, please, we certainly want you to have one. We have some to give you to follow along. We don't want you to be left out, amen. We certainly want to include you. Revelation chapter 20 this morning. Once you found your place, would you stand, please, as we read a few verses here. I'll just read these verses, if you would follow along this morning there at your place. I'm just going to read verses 11 through 15 in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, beginning in chapter 20, verse 11. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, notice, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Yep.
Verse 11 says, I saw a great white throne. Yep. Let's pray. Our Father, we humble our hearts before you this morning.
Yes.
Lord, I pray for your help. Lord, this is the message that you've given me, Lord. I pray that I would preach it in your spirit and your power, that you would work in all of our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated this morning. We'll talk to you about the great white throne for a little while. Probably one of the most sobering passages in the Bible.
Yes, sir. Come on.
I just reading it, I'm having a hard time keeping myself gathered this morning. This event is yet to come. It's still in the future. It has not happened. But I want you to understand something. It's very literal.
Yes, sir.
It's not allegorical. It's not symbolic. It's absolutely literal. It is exactly like it says. There are no symbols involved in this passage of Scripture. There's no word pictures. It's all literal. Very literal. In the book of Revelation, as you read through the book of Revelation, you have before, from chapter 4 on through chapter 21, to the end of the book, it's all future still. Every bit of its future has not happened yet. It's still prophetic. But listen to me. Some of it's symbolic. Some of it's, but this is very literal.
Yeah.
This is directly like it says, exactly like it says.
Yeah.
We're looking at an actual event that, listen to me, that is revealed to you and me in the Word of God. It hasn't happened yet, but it's openly revealed for our looking into, for our perusal, for our meditation, for our learning, for our understanding. And listen, it's for our examining. This morning, what I want to do with you, by the Holy Spirit's grace of God, I want to examine this passage of Scripture with you this morning. I want to examine this upcoming, and listen, and definite, certain event to see and help us understand better why did God make it a point to show us like this in great detail exactly what's coming in the future. I'm going to get right into this morning. The number one thing I want you to see with me are the preceding events, the events leading up to this great white throne. There in chapter 20 with me, look in verse 7. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. Not corners, quarters, okay? North, south, east, and west, that's all that means. Quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, that's Jerusalem, come, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Now, I want you to notice something just by way of understanding here. We are reading this in past tense because, listen, it's as good as done when God prophesies. When God puts something in His Word that says this is going to happen, it's as good as done. As far as God's concerned, it's already done. But in our time understanding of time as we know it, it is still in the future. So let's read on here in verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. This leads up to the great white throne. These are the preceding events. Now I want you to see, understand, Satan had been bound prior to this. He had been bound and cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. During the millennial reign, we call it, the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan is bound and he's cast into the bottomless pit, and he's locked in there. He is sealed, and he is not allowed to deceive anyone for 1,000 years. I want you to just, by the way here, think about this. God is completely in control of Satan. God is completely in control of Satan. We are so afraid of the devil, we give him way too much glory. We give him way too much credit. Listen, when God is ready, God is just going to bind him hand and foot and just cast him into the bottomless pit. It's not going to cost God anything. It's not going to even raise a sweat on his brow. He's going to send an angel to come down. God's not going to have to do it himself. Understand something. The devil is nothing to God. Nothing. Amen? Now, but after these 1,000 years, he's loosed. He's let out like a raging, foaming, dog on a rampage. He's loosed and he's allowed to go on one more tirade. The Bible says that he's going to gather an army after 1,000 years of peace on the earth. He's going to gather a large army the size of the sands of the sea. That's a lot of people. And after living and fully reigning and being with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years, he's going to find thousands of people who are willing to go against Jesus and try to destroy him. Now, he takes this army in verse 9, and he goes up to Jerusalem. By the way, the Bible, Jerusalem's always up, amen? The city of God, Jerusalem's always up. Everything else is down. When you're in God's will, amen, you're up. When you're out of God's will, you're down. When you're in the house of God, you're up. When you're out of the house of God, you're down, amen? When you're living for God, you're up. When you're living for Satan and self, you're always down, amen? But Satan, however, is going to go up this hill, listen to me, one last time. One last time he's going to go up to the city of the beloved city, the camp of the saints. So that's you and me if you're saved here this morning. And he's going to take this army and he's going to attempt to destroy Jesus. And Jesus is there, and the Bible says in verse 9, at the end of the verse, fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And that was it.
Yep. That's right. Amen.
That's it. Mm-hmm. But verse 10, the devil.
Yeah.
That deceived them. That's all he does, folks.
Yep.
That's all he does.
Yep.
He deceives. He is a liar and the father of all lies.
Yes, sir, he is. Amen.
He deceives, and he's always going to, always has, and the very last day of his existence on this earth, he's deceiving people.
Yep.
Amen.
Wow. Come on, preacher, preach.
To be deceived is to believe something as if it were true.
Yeah.
Understand something. To be deceived is to believe a lie with all of your heart.
Yeah.
To believe that it is true and you are completely convinced it's true. To be deceived is not to be, well, I'm maybe I think, maybe, you know, it might. No, no. To be deceived means you believe a lie.
Yeah.
Right.
You believe something that's completely untrue as if all of your heart and your life depend on it. You are deceived. And the devil, listen, is the master.
That's right.
At deceiving people.
Yeah.
Deceiving people.
Yep.
I've got a lot to say. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but verse 10 says, he that deceived the devil, that deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire. He was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, and it's forever.
That's
Forever. The Bible says the beast and false prophet are to be tormented day and night forever. He's not coming back out. He's never going to be loosed again for a season. You're never going to see, hear from him ever again. Eternity begins, amen, without Satan for all eternity. And at this point, however, I want you to see now, at this point, we see a great white throne come into view in verse 11. Now, there's no change of location mentioned here. There's no change. It doesn't say he comes out of heaven. I mean, I know you have your own pictures and ideas of this, but there's no change of location. There's no change of scenery. As far as we know, it's still the throne right there in Jerusalem.
Right.
David's throne. It's still that same throne. We believe that this very great white throne is just the same throne that Jesus sits on for 1,000 years. But there's going to be a change of attitude in God's heart. And all of a sudden, he's not going to be judging on the earth. He's going to take care of some eternal judgment now. But I want you to notice, number two, not just the preceding events, but now I want you to notice in verse 11, the panic.
Yeah.
The panic. Verse 11 says, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. When the earth and the heaven, when they see the face of God on this throne, they panic. I mean, they're terror-stricken panic. And they try to run away. They're overcome with panic and fear. And they see the great white throne. The first thing they try to do is run. The first thing they try to do is hide. They panic. And listen, God hasn't said a word yet. Verse 11 says they saw his face on the throne and they immediately fled. They ran as fast as they could in every other direction away from that throne. Understand something? He hasn't said a word yet.
Come on.
But they see the great white, listen, white throne. Purity. Power. Sinlessness. Absolute void of all sin and iniquity. And when they see that great white throne, they are filled with terror. Filled with, they don't want anything to do with that. And they run as fast, they panic, and they run in every direction away from it. And he hasn't even said a word. He hasn't even said a word. The Bible tells us that each one of them knows this, and what I'm telling you, each one of them knows what they're looking at. They know exactly what's about to happen. They've known it since they were old enough to understand sin.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right. Come on.
He hasn't said a word, folks. God has not said a word yet. But I want you to understand something. God has been judging and rebuking and reproving and punishing them, amen, from the day that they knew what sin was.
Yeah.
That's right.
I told you this morning in Sunday school that God is angry with the wicked every day. God is against them. His face is against them. The Bible says his face is against sin. He's against sin. He cannot look upon sin. God is against. Listen, and they know now this is what I've been running from all my life. Listen, because that's what they've been doing. They were running from God their entire life. They were running away from God's purity and his power and his perfect sinlessness. And they ran and they've been running their whole life. Now, however, the Bible says that there was no place for them to hide.
Come on, break.
No place to hide. All they want to do is run away. Live in sin just one more day. Just have one more sin-sick day. Just one more night with the frogs. Just one more day with my flesh and the pleasures of sin. Just one more season to be deceived by sin and Satan. They're running away. There's no place found for them.
Yeah.
Come on, preacher.
There's nowhere to go. Can I say something to you? There really never has been.
Right.
There really never has been.
Right. Come on.
But God has allowed them up to this point. Remember, this is still future. God has allowed them up to this point today, whatever this is, 31st of March 2019. God has allowed them to believe, amen. The devil has deceived them into believing that they're okay and they're getting away with it.
Come on.
But there's coming a day where they're going to see the great white throne, and they're going to see the face of the one sitting on that great white throne, and they're going to panic and try to run away one more time, and they're going to realize there's nowhere to go now. There's the panic right here at the throne. I want you to notice, number three, the purpose. The purpose of the throne, future tense still, is one and one only, and that's judgment.
Right.
Judgment. Verse 12 says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were what? Judged. Listen, don't tell me God doesn't judge. God always judges, amen. God even tells us to judge righteous judgment. God tells us to judge ourselves so we won't be judged. Understand something, this is the day of judgment. This is the day of inescapable judgment. God, listen to me, God has postponed His judgment for many years. He's postponing this day. It's not happened yet. God has winked at the abundant sin in every direction for many years. He's been long-suffering for many, many decades,
amen,
centuries.
Amen.
But now the day has come.
Yep.
God has brought the gospel to everyone. God has revealed His salvation to all the world. God has manifested His glory to all mankind. But now it's judgment day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want you to notice with me a couple things about this judgment. Number one, perfect records are kept. Perfect records are kept. Verse 12 says, I saw the dead stand before God. The books were opened. Another book was opened, the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Everything they have ever done is recorded in heaven. Can I say everything you have ever done is recorded in heaven?
Amen.
See, isn't it interesting to you how there is no Windows or Apple Macintosh or iPads or mentioned books?
Amen.
Books.
Yeah, come on.
You say, are those literal books? Everything in this is literal.
Right.
Folks, God understands technology, amen. I'm not going to preach on technology today, but computers crash, books don't.
That's right.
God is never going to lose your life.
That's right. Amen.
God is never going to lose. These records are kept perfectly and accurately. There's not one thing that's not going to be in here. These folks will be judged according to every one of their works.
Amen.
God is keeping perfect records. I want you to understand something. One of these books is going to be the Bible.
That's right.
Not the ones that have the works in them, but the Bible says in John chapter 12, Jesus said these very words. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The Bible is what Jesus is saying is, listen, God's going to use this book as one of those books on the day of judgment. Understand, it's a book in heaven too.
Amen.
Amen. Let's get a hold of that.
Amen.
Why don't we want to bring a book to the church house? Why do we want to bring an electronic garbage, piece of garbage, that's going to have our email pop up while the preacher's preaching? That's going to have text pop up while the preacher's preaching? That's going to have, you're going to be tempted to get around and start playing a game while the preacher's preaching. Listen, God's not using iPads. We need to use books just like He does. Let me just slip that in there if I have a chance.
That's right.
I don't care. Now, maybe you see, I can't carry it everywhere I go, preach. Okay, I understand. But when it's time to come to church, amen, let's bring the book.
Yeah.
Let's bring the book. So that's old-fashioned. Well, I guess God's old-fashioned.
Amen.
Hallelujah for that right there, amen. God's old-fashioned. But these are perfect records. Perfect records, everything. I want you to notice also, there's going to be, in this judgment, perfect records are kept, but there's going to be perfect placement as well. Look in verse 13. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Now what do you mean, preacher? Perfect placement. God is going to perfectly place each lost man exactly where he belongs. Now understand something. Based on their works, they're going to be placed where they belong. Listen, it's all the lake of fire. It's all hell. Right. Look in verse 13. The Bible tells us, 14, excuse me, death and hell were cast, every one of them were cast into the lake of fire. So what's the deal with the works, preacher? What's the deal with God judging works and according to the works, and then they're all going to go, they're all going to, what's the point of that? Here's the point. There's different levels of hell.
That's right.
There are different levels of hell.
Preacher, brother.
You say, is that really biblical, preacher? Well, I can quote you three different places. Let me just give you the references. Matthew 23, Mark 12, and Luke 20, where Jesus says these very words, greater damnation.
Yep.
Now, damnation is damnation. Condemnation is condemnation. Damnation and doom, and that's hell.
Right.
The condemnation of sin, the damnation of judgment, that's hell. But there's a greater damnation for the Pharisees. He was speaking to the Pharisees. Why? Because they were taking people with them to hell. Because their works were causing other people to go to hell with them. There's different levels of hell. I just want you to understand something. There is going to be a real judgment on this day, and there's going to be perfect records kept. There are perfect records kept, and there's going to be perfect placement. Every single man is going to go to that lake of fire, but they're all going to be in different levels of hell. Yep. Different levels of torment.
Oh, right.
It's interesting, but that's exactly what this scripture is teaching us. Nothing but eternal torments for all of them, but different levels. This is why God keeps records.
That's right.
The place that's going to be after this throne is, I just mentioned it, it's the lake of fire. The records are not kept to see who goes to hell and who doesn't. I said the records are not kept to see who goes to hell and who doesn't. That is not the basis of hell. Everyone at this judgment goes to the lake of fire. Remember now, this is death and hell. These are all the dead of the world. Now understand something, who died without Christ. Death and hell. And again it says, I saw the dead in verse 12. So there's these are the dead of the world that died without Christ. This place, understand, is not annihilation. The lake of fire is not annihilation. It is not the end. They do not cease to exist, dearly beloved.
That's right.
Mark 9:44 says this, their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Why would the fire have to burn for all eternity if they just cease to exist?
Amen.
The fire burns for all eternity, and their worm, their soul, their spirit never ceases to exist. Amen. And Jesus said that in Mark chapter 9. Then he said in Matthew 25, these shall go away into everlasting punishment.
Right.
Everlasting punishment is not just a ceasing to exist. That would be extreme pain and burning for a few minutes, but then it would not be everlasting punishment. This is not annihilation. This is torment. The Bible says in Luke 16 about a rich man who died. The Bible says, and in the very next phrase it says, and in hell he lift up his eyes. He's alert. He's aware of his surroundings. The Bible says he lift up his eyes, being in torment. Torments. He's able to see. He's able to feel. He asked for a drop of water. That's not a parable. That's a physically dead man separated from his body. He's seeing, he's talking, and he's feeling torment in the flames of hell. It's not a parable.
Amen.
I want to prove it to you in just one more way, if you still doubt me. Look in chapter 19 of Revelation, chapter 19, right there in verse 20. The beast was taken. The beast is the Antichrist. Okay? It's a man. The Bible calls him a beast. Why do you say, preacher? Because he's filled with the devil. He's filled with the spirit of Satan. The Bible calls him the beast. All throughout the book of Revelation, when you read about the beast, you're reading about a man. And then it says there in chapter 19, verse 20, it says, and the false prophet. The beast was taken, and with him, with who? Him. It's a person. And the false prophet. Who's the false prophet? Another man. Listen to me. These are not mythical creatures. These are men. The beast is the Antichrist. We call him the Antichrist because he's filled with the spirit of Antichrist, which is the spirit of Lucifer, the spirit of Satan. So the beast is a man who's filled with the spirit of Antichrist, and that's why we call him the Antichrist. But he's a man. And then there's the false prophet. What he's going to do is he's going to preach and literally tell people that, hey, the Antichrist is God, and he's going to push people to the Antichrist, push people to the beast, who is, by the way, all at all times being controlled by the dragon, Satan himself. See, Satan has a trinity also. The dragon is Satan himself. The beast is the Antichrist, who's filled with Satan. And then there's the false prophet. Okay? God has the Father, the Son, who is filled with the Spirit of the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does nothing but push men to Christ. That's his entire ministry. This false prophet is pushing men to the Antichrist, the beast. But I want you to see something. These are two men, okay? These are not two mythical creatures, amen. These are men. And it says in verse 20, they wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. I don't have time to preach on the tribulation this morning, but the mark of the beast is the mark of man, 666. And see, what they're going to do is the Antichrist is going to require everyone there in this time to have that mark, or they cannot buy, they cannot sell, they will starve to death.
Yeah. Yep.
And the Bible says anybody that receives that mark will automatically be condemned forever to hell. They'll never be saved.
Right.
So the obviously it's going to be an incredible time of suffering and tragedy. But look, I want you to see here again, the mark of the beast, the false prophet is deceiving people into believing they've got to have that mark because this is the mark of Christ. But the Bible tells us plainly in Revelation 13, it's the mark of man,
yep,
not Christ.
They
worshipped his image. Look in the end of verse 19. Excuse me, verse 20, chapter 19. These both men were cast alive,
yep,
into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now look again in chapter 20, verse 10. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, same place in brimstone. Notice the wording here, where the beast and the false prophet were. No. I know, I just tricked you. Sorry about that. R. Now, you understand between Revelation 19, verse 20, and Revelation 20, verse 10, 1,000 years have passed.
Yeah.
Before the 1,000 years, the beast and the false prophet are in the lake of fire. The devil is in the bottomless pit. He's not in the lake of fire yet. It's a different place. But the beast and the false prophet, two men now, are 1,000 years later in the same lake of fire.
Yep, that's right. Amen.
It's not annihilation.
That's right.
It's not the end. It's torment day and night.
Sure.
Forever and ever.
Amen.
I want you to notice number 5, the person on this throne. The person on the throne is God.
Amen.
But I want you to notice, the Bible says in verse 11, I saw a great white throne, and I saw him that sat on. God is a spirit.
Amen.
You can't see a spirit. You can't see the wind. John chapter 3, Jesus compares the spirit to the wind. You can't see the wind. You can see what it does, but you can't see the wind. You can't see God. You can see him work and his hand at work, but you can't see God. So who is on this throne? It's Jesus.
Amen. That's right, brother.
It's Jesus.
Absolutely. Praise God. Praise his name.
See, preacher, what's the importance there? Jesus is God, folks.
Yes, sir.
Jesus is God. He is God manifest in the flesh.
That's right.
He is, amen, God himself, Emmanuel, God with us. He's God, the Word of God, that was made flesh and dwelt on this earth for 33 and a half years. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. God cannot sin, amen. He cannot even lie. He lived a sinless life. And in this day, in Revelation chapter 20, he is now the great white throne, the one sitting on that throne, judging the dead and all of those that are without Christ.
Amen.
Folks, he is our standard.
Yes, sir.
He is God.
That's right.
He's not some second-rate, you know, little prophet man. He's not some good man who did good things. He is Almighty God in the flesh. And on this day, the world is going to be running in every direction to get away from him. Listen to me, because he is, in fact, God.
Amen.
Sinless and holy.
Yes, come on.
Can I say something to you? He's the final authority.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Amen. He's the final authority.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about Jesus.
Right.
It was interesting. Yesterday in Little Elm, we had our first visitor. Amen. She came, she knocked on the door. We just got there and got started. She came, she was one of Miss Immaculate, the lady who owns that, it was one of her neighbors. She'd invited her to come to the service. Glory to God, she came. She sat there, we sang a few songs like we do. And we sang about the blood of Jesus. I mean, we sang about the power in the blood, nothing but the blood. We sang two or three songs about the blood. And then I said, Samuel leads the music. I let him pick the songs. And I said, that sense of theme here.
Amen.
Well, there was a theme. There's the blood of Jesus and nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing.
Amen.
But the blood. Amen. What can make me whole? This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. So we sang those songs. It was a blessing. I got to read some scripture about the blood of Jesus. In whom, Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption. Amen. Even the, through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace.
Yes.
Grace of God, something that we don't deserve. Only through the blood of Jesus, forgiveness of sins. Sins is the problem. We're sinners. We're unworthy. We're hell-bound, worthless. And listen, and I preached on John 14. Jesus said, I am the way,
Amen.
The truth, and the life.
Yes,
no man cometh to the Father but by me. He's the final authority. He's the one that makes the decision who goes and who doesn't.
Yeah.
He's God.
Amen.
And that lady's sitting there. And she's looking around. And you can tell she's not real comfortable. She's not really on board with all of this. She wasn't unkind. After we got done, after we prayed, Brother Bruce prayed and amen. He called out to God, God, for your glory and thy glory alone. May all things be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory. And then we found out that lady was a Mormon. A Mormon. Say, preacher, what's the big deal? Don't they? No. They have no idea. They are completely removed from Jesus.
Yeah.
No, really.
They believe Jesus is a brother of Satan.
Yeah.
Created a being who is the brother of Satan himself.
Oh, help me, preacher.
Come on, preacher.
Yeah.
God, listen, God put her right there in that living room and heard those songs and heard that message. And she was kind enough, but when she finally left, I think I saw smoke behind her. It was like dust running out that door.
Oh.
Folks, Jesus is the final authority.
Yes, He is.
Amen.
Yes, He is.
Not my works. See, Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, they're the biggest cults. That it's all about my righteousness.
Yes.
My goodness. Jesus is the final authority.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
He's going to be the one on this day to decide. Amen. Okay. But understand something. Now, you say, okay, these folks are already dead. These folks are already, this. You're right. These are dead without Christ. But I want you to see, finally, as I close this morning, the participants. I want to talk to you about the participants at this throne. There are two different types of participants in this judgment. And I want to point it out to you. Obviously, those who have died without Christ. And that's what we've been talking about to this point. In verse 12, I saw the dead. Okay? In verse 13, the sea gave up the dead, and death and hell delivered up the dead, which were in them. So those are the ones who have died without Christ. The Bible simply calls them the dead. Small and great. In verse 12, small and great means of all ages.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they were great or small in the size, it's their age. Of all ages, they're dead without Christ is dead without Christ, folks. Children, you said, once a child reaches the age of understanding and they know that they're accountable to God, they know that they've sinned against the holy God, amen, they become accountable.
That's right.
God help us. God help our country.
Amen.
Children who are old enough to know right from wrong are accountable to God.
That's right.
Oh.
There's going to be children in the, at this judgment seat, this great white throne, who are going to be there because their parents never took them to church, because their parents never told them the truth, because their parents never got them in Sunday school, because their parents did not tell, or their parents got saved, but they didn't bother taking their children.
Yeah, come on.
Folks, we are living in a community, in a society, in a culture in America, whereas I got mine, that's all I need. God help us!
Yeah, amen.
There's going to be small children in that throne who have died without Christ. I'm not talking about babies. Babies are not, you understand, if they're not accountable, they don't know right from wrong, they're okay.
Amen.
But it don't take them to 6 or 7 or 8 years old. It don't take them to be 14 or 20. No. Once they know right from wrong and they're able to know I'm disobeying, they're accountable.
Right.
What are we doing with them? There's going to be dead children there who have been in hell already.
Amen.
This is not fun to talk about. This is not fun to preach about. But this is literal.
Yeah.
This is right here in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, preacher, children are so innocent. People are not going to be in hell because of what they've done.
Right.
They're going to be in hell because of who they are.
Yep.
Preacher, children don't have it. They don't have a chance to do anything really bad. You're not understanding it.
Yeah,
they haven't done anything bad yet. But why do you think when they grow up they do all that? Because it's already in here.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Come on.
And parents aren't even trying to help. Parents aren't even doing. Listen, if a parent really believed this message that I'm preaching to you right now, you would do everything you can. Get that boy in church. Get that girl in church. They need to be saved.
Sure.
That's the way it used to be in our country. That's why there used to be churches running 13, 30 buses picking up children all over the city. Because they said, get those kids. But not today.
Yeah.
And because, listen, children are going to be right here at this great white throne.
Come on.
Those who have died without Christ. But I want you to understand something. There's going to be a second group of people here. Look in verse 14. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. But then there's a very big and very important word at the beginning of verse 15. And. That's another group of people. And.
Yeah, come on.
Whosoever was not found written in the book of life.
Yeah.
Come on. Tell us, brother. Tell us.
We're not talking about the dead in Christ, or dead without Christ anymore in verse 15.
Okay.
What are we talking about? We're talking about the people who did everything they were supposed to do.
Come on.
What do you mean, preacher? Okay, hold on now. I'm trying to be very understandable here. Remember the events leading up to this, 1,000 years? There's going to be people born. 1,000 years, a lot of babies born. A lot of children growing up. A lot of generations in 1,000 years.
That's right.
Now, they're not going to die, but there are going to be people born.
Yeah.
There's going to be people who die because Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign in righteousness.
Right.
I'm going to give you the brief version. He's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. And people who disobey Him are going to be cut down and cut off.
Yes, sir.
Right.
That's right.
As an example. And then after people see how Jesus answers to them, then they're going to stop fighting Him. Hey, that's not salvation.
Right.
Listen to me. That's not salvation. For 1,000 years, hundreds of years, thousands of babies who grow up to be adults are going to do the right thing so they don't get in trouble.
Come on.
That's not salvation.
That's right, brother. That's right.
That's what the Catholic Church tells you. That's what the Methodist Church and the Episcopalians and the Presbyterians, that's what they tell you. That's what the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons tell you. You got to be a good person. You got to do right.
Yeah, come on.
No.
That's not salvation. But that's where 9 out of 10 people are finding their righteousness.
Amen.
Their salvation.
That's right.
For 1,000 years, people are going to grow up and living under Jesus' rule and reign. And know, I better be good.
Amen.
I better behave or I'm going to be gone. It's not going to be a long suffering reign. It's going to be a reign of righteousness.
Yep.
Amen.
This is very sobering. Understand something. When the devil is loose after those 1,000 years, he goes all four quarters, north, south, east, and west of the world, and he finds an army, Brother Evan.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, where did that army come from? These people.
Right. Yep.
These people who were doing everything right, doing what Jesus said, but they weren't saved. Our salvation has nothing to do with what I do.
That's right.
If I'm saved, it has nothing to do with what I do or don't do. It has to do with what Jesus did for me.
Amen.
On the old rugged cross.
Yeah.
And only through that blood can I be atoned and made whole and justified freely by His grace.
Yeah.
Not because I did right.
That's right.
Preach.
There's another group of people in this judgment that have never died yet. And they did everything they were supposed to. And now they're going to stand before the same great white throne, before the same Jesus Christ. And the books are going to be opened. And one of those books is the Book of Life. And their name's not in it. See, death and hell have already been cast into the lake of fire. All those that died without Christ are already gone. Now there's another line over here of folks who never died. Folks who came through the millennial reign and subjected themselves to His authority. That's not salvation.
That's right.
Amen. That's right.
That's a lie.
Yeah.
And Jesus is going to open up the Book of Life. He'll say,
yes, sir, come on.
Depart from me.
Yes, sir.
I never knew you.
Yes, sir.
Matthew 7 says they're going to be doing works. They're going to be prophesying and casting out devils in His name. They're going to be doing wonderful things. And He's going to say, that's not salvation.
Oh, great.
Your name's not here. Lake of fire.
Amen.
Whew. Folks, listen to me. I don't know about you, but that stirs my heart.
Yes, sir.
That breaks my heart.
Yes, sir.
Listen, these people knew Jesus was real. They believed He was real. They had even, in all probability, seen Him. He's going to be invisible on the throne in Jerusalem. That's not salvation.
That's right.
I believe in God. The devils believe in God too.
That's right.
Amen.
They never rebelled against Him. They never did anything really bad. But listen to me. But neither did they receive Him.
Yes.
As their personal Savior.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Neither did they trust and call upon Him for salvation. They lived 1,000 years, or not 1,000, but the greater part of 1,000 years in peace, in righteousness, being ruled and reigned in righteousness, and they still rejected Jesus.
That's right.
And you don't think it's happening today? You don't think there's all kinds of people like that today, probably sitting in this room, who think, I've never done anything that bad. I'm not a bad person. I've never really been bad. I've never done anything really bad. I've never gone to prison. And understand, that's not salvation. That's not salvation. If your name's not in that... By the way, where's that book at? It's in heaven. It's in Jesus' hands.
That's right.
You have the audacity to think you can put your own name in that book?
Come on. Great. Help.
Amen, brother.
You say, well, my good works. Your good works don't put your name in that book. Only He can put your name in that book.
Right.
Amen.
There'll be a lot of people very sorely disappointed and cast into the lake of fire. They never repented. They never turned to God for salvation. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's what He said. Unbelievable. They saw Jesus. The world was filled with Jesus. The world was filled with His presence, His peace, His power, His teaching, His servants, His glory, His temple. That doesn't matter. He wasn't in their hearts. Folks, I'm asking you this morning. I told you as I began this message, we're examining this thing because I want to know why God put this in here. And there's one very good reason. You must be born again.
Amen.
Your good works are nothing at this judgment day.
Right.
And secondly, the second reason it's in here is because those of us who know this, what are we doing about it?
Yeah.
Who are we telling?
Yeah.
All free.
Right.
I want you to think with me. Verse 12 says, I saw. Now this is John, not the John the Baptist, but the Apostle John.
Yeah.
Who's seeing all of this.
Yeah.
And now he's writing it in this book. It's revealed. Now, if he saw it, it's very possible and likely, yea, even that we're going to see it. Parents are going to see their children cast in the lake of fire.
Yeah, come on.
Children are going to see their parents cast in the lake of fire.
Come on.
Family members, husbands are going to see their wives. Wives are going to see their husbands.
Yeah.
What are we doing about it?
Yes, amen.
What are we doing about it? If you believe that Bible, God put this in here. This is the most sobering passage of Scripture in the Bible. What are we doing about it?
Amen.
If you're not saved, you better run to Jesus today.
Amen.
You better stop playing games because this will be you.
Amen.
If you are saved, what are you doing about it? Who are we telling about it? All their lives they lived surrounded by Jesus, surrounded by, and they never surrendered their heart to Him. And they went to the same lake of fire where the devil, the beast, the false prophet, and all those who were dead without, they went to the same lake of fire. We must wake up. If you're not saved this morning, you better run to Jesus today.
Yeah.
You better throw yourself on His mercy. Your good works are filthy rags.
Yep.
If you're playing games and religion and you know in your heart you're not saved, you're just not being as bad as somebody else, you better wake up. Let's bow our heads. God is long-suffering right now. God is not doing this yet. He is so long-suffering.